for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters, back with another episode, a thrilling episode, I must say.
Yeah, we are.
Of Brew Strong. So, Justin, these BN Army dog tags?
Yeah.
Very cool. Whose idea was this?
Well, first of all, they're top secret, Jamil.
Oh, sorry. Top secret.
I'll give credit to Code and Gucci.
Ooh,
found them.
Go.
We've been looking for BN Army dog tags for a while.
Sweet. And I knew it wasn't your idea.
No. Code and Gucci not only found dog tags, but they found bottle opener dog tags. So the only issue is we're just trying to find the right place to order them from.
Uh-huh.
Code has laser etched those for us himself.
And with his laser eyesight?
Yeah, I guess so. And had offered to do that for us on an ongoing basis. And I said, Code, I don't think
your eyes will get so tired.
You won't be able to see anything.
Yeah.
Well, I said, I don't think you know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah,
I mean, we're going to sell.
You need like 30,000 of those at least.
People are going to go nuts for them. So I actually got my mother, who's starting to take over some of
her
the
her eyesight's not quite as good as Code's, though.
But she has more time.
So her laser is a little slower.
Yeah.
But yeah, she got more time.
Yeah. She's trying to get our supplier organized so that we can order enough of them. It's one of those items that I can't order a small amount of. They're going to go quick.
All
or nothing.
Yeah.
You need like 100,000 of these things.
So just keep an eye on the store for that. It's one of those, it'll be a cheap item that you can, it's a BN bottle opener dog tag. They're pretty sweet.
Unless people really want them, then maybe they'll be like $19.95.
Yeah. That's true. It's like a piece of aluminum. You know, I have been testing
them,
though.
If somebody with their laser eyes has etched this thing, though,
yeah.
You know, that's pretty pricey there. You can't get that just anywhere.
No, you can't.
You know, speaking for the Joe, the home brewers out there, I got to tell you, Justin, there's been a few people upset at Jamil.
Yeah.
Well, from one of the Brew Strongs, he was talking about, you know, Halloween and how he was, taking his kids out. First off, he forgot to mention that he, Doppelbach is his favorite brew of choice then. But then he dressed
Weizenbach.
Up. Do you remember what
people in Australia know it's Weizenbach.
Weizenbach, all right. Well, you remember what he dressed up as for that episode, you know, when he was going out?
I don't remember.
Freddy Krueger.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the problem
it
is...
did?
Yeah, you see, it's appalling because what we need to do...
You brought him a Pope hat. Pope hat.
Get Jamil. He never again should be Freddy Krueger. And more than that, I think every time he goes to a brewing-related event...
He should have the Pope hat on.
I was thinking, actually, every time in public, maybe.
Dude, that's a pretty sweet Pope hat.
It's pretty nice.
Why don't you put it on?
I'll tell you what it's missing.
Your scepter.
Like beer sippy cups.
Oh, it's got a size adjuster, too, for my giant head.
That's good, because it's swelling as we go, I can tell.
You know, what's missing is a hop grenade on this barrel.
Oh, true. We can make that happen.
You know, put a hop grenade like right on the front.
Oh, yeah.
I assume it's worn in this
so
direction.
Great.
Huh?
Huh? Yeah. We can make that happen.
Too bad the camera isn't. But a hop grenade right on the front, and we'd be good to go.
Oh, what does that make John Plee say? The altar boy? I mean, seriously. You know?
I think that's without question.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's at least been our relationship. I've been abusing him like an altar boy.
Yeah. Well, that now
like a priest does to an altar boy.
I feel so much more comfortable sitting in this room with the Pope now.
This is a quality Pope hat. I think it's a little small for me. My giant head. It stretches
a little
bit.
There you go. Exactly.
It's kind of like those trucker caps with the one size fits all type of cap. I think this is good. This is keeping my head warm. Good for the winter days in the studio.
It does look great.
Hey.
It's perfect.
I'm thinking I'm wearing this 24 hours a day. I'm going to wear this to work come Monday.
That's right.
Why is Palmer AWOL?
He's probably peeing, forgot about the show. Doesn't really matter. We go without him.
Okay.
He's a critical part of the show, after
right.
all.
I see.
You know, I got to tell you, though, his book, How to Brew, that is...
It's an 8 out of 10.
You know, it's
what you told me. It was an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, it is. But I wanted to talk about, you know... As a beginning brewer, you get this book, this will teach you. I mean, talk about brewing strong. This book will do it.
Yeah.
The second best book Ray Daniels' book, Brewing, Designing Great Beers.
Yeah.
Amazing. And by far the best book, as Jamil knows, is without a doubt...
Hustler.
No, The Fungus Among Us by Chris White. I think if you have that...
Now, I thought we talked about this, and you know how you got a ride here, and it's a long walk back home.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, the best book out there is Brewing Classic Styles, which you can pick up in the Brewing Network store. Signed. You get a copy signed by both John Palmer and myself. Right. And, speaking of the devil.
Hello. What do you think, John? I was thinking somebody like maybe Joe Formanek and Ray Daniels could get together and make a book, you know, about like a... Designing classic style, something like that. You know, give us
designing how to brew classic style.
Yeah, exactly. Something perfect.
No, they can't. They can't top Jamil and I.
No, it's impossible. Well, now he's got the blessing.
Yeah. We'd like to see designing how to brew radical classic style sometime soon.
We're working on it. We're working on it. It's taking a lot of glue sticks and scissors in order to make that happen. All right, today we're talking about a very. A subject dear and close and dear to my heart, sanitizing.
Yep.
The sanitization.
The sister of cleaning and the key to good beer.
Well, and I'm totally lost here.
Train left the station.
Yeah. And I wasn't.
Palmer says sister, and Jamil can't get his brain back on track.
Yeah. Well, he's got the Pope hat on. You know, right.
It's making my brain too warm. I think the thing I was going to say was cleaning and sanitization go hand in hand.
They do.
And not too long ago, maybe what 4 weeks or 6 weeks, 8 weeks or something like that. God knows how long it is in real human time, podcaster time and radio time. It's totally different. We had John Herskovitz from Five Star.
Yep.
And he
Excellent
was helping
show.
Us out on cleaning. Now, do we have John available for us? Not quite yet.
I'm working on
it. But we will have John
with us today
to talk sanitization. And, the thing that brings this up is, we get tons of emails from people asking about, various questions, and sanitizing is clearly one of them. If you do have a question for the Brew Strong Show, you email us brewstrong@thebrewingnetwork.com. And you can ask any question, and
we will address it on the show.
We'll address it on the show, right? We won't necessarily cover all of them. If you need immediate brewing help, that is not the email address to you,
right?
Because that's just for show suggestions and things like that. Comments on the show. If they're bad comments, we'll just ignore them. If they're good comments, we'll rub them all over our bodies. If there are show ideas and they sound good, we'll go ahead and go with those. My good friend Ross Lunato, out in Chicago, great guy. He came out and actually brewed with me. He was one of the winners of a brew session with myself. He came out.
What was the contest there? You remember?
It was people who donated
$50
or $100 towards
unfortunately,
the Brewers Association. I'm just drawing a blank. Ross had sent me an email, and he was saying a lot of great things about me and how I helped the home brewing industry, so which is one of the reasons why I enjoyed this email so much. But he said, I'd like to request that you do a show completely committed to sanitation. What's important for me is the system and process you go through during sanitation, methodologies for sanitizing different equipment, tubing, racking canes, oxygen stones, and whether you rinse or not, and if you do, preparing and using the rinse water, etc. Transferring wort without infection from brew pot to fermenter, how long in advance do you start the sanitizing process, and how long do you wait for the equipment to drip dry before using would be a great topic. I could go on and on about sanitation, but I believe that improper sanitation technique is preventing me from making a He's making a so-so beer, and it's preventing him from making a really great beer. Anyway, I just thought I would make a suggestion for a show. Yours truly, Ross.
Excellent.
And I think that's excellent. That is really what we want to cover. It's not just, measure out your chemicals, throw them in, and, there you go, you're sanitized. But a little bit more than that. And those are the types of things that I think the books don't cover. It's kind of the process and, some of the tricks of the trade. And with us today to go over those tricks of the trade is John Herskovitz from Five Star, makers of Star Sand, one of our favorite sanitizing projects. You there, John?
I am here. How are you guys?
Excellent.
Great. Thanks for joining
awesome.
Us again.
And, my pleasure.
I wanted to talk sanitizing with you.
Sanitizing.
All right. So
one of my favorite topics.
Absolutely. Isn't it everybody's?
We'll keep this show clean.
That's why I brought you that witty humor. John. So can you? Give one thing we want to always start off with is kind of a definition of what we're talking about. So, fundamentally, what is sanitizing? What give me a definition of sanitary.
Sanitary definition of sanitary. I guess the best thing is a clean surface. But to sanitize, you must kill the bugs. There's three different levels of kill when we're talking about food and food processes. You have sterilize, you have disinfect, and then you have sanitize. Sanitize is the least of the amount or of the three as far as the total number of kill. We measure sanitize by how many bugs are left after we've killed it. The reason why you don't necessarily need to be at disinfect or a sterilize, whereas a sanitize is lower, however, you don't want to rinse and reintroduce more bacteria or something else, so it's a low enough level that will provide high enough kill but not harm the food. Does that make sense? So I guess
you're reducing the bacteria to manageable levels or... negligible
Correct.
Levels, yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. I am.
Where the impact of any bacteria or wild yeast is not going to affect the overall flavor because the yeast you are pitching is going to outcompete what's left and eat up all the available
exactly.
sugars and nutrients and really reduce it to a low nutrient state, a lower pH, the alcohol, the hops, all that's going to help keep it stable. And,
yeah.
And so you're trying to drive it down to that competition point where it's at a serious disadvantage.
Well, and to put things in perspective, I don't have the exact number in front of me, but let's say we start off with a million cells. There's less than one left. That okay. would be sanitize. Okay. Mm-hmm. But to get it, we have to have a between a 6 and a 9 log kill. And then disinfect is a higher kill. So that's a good definition, is we've reduced it to the point at which it's not going to grow or it's not going to overwhelm the rest of the beer.
Okay.
Because there's just general bacteria floating through the air all the time.
Now, and like we talked earlier, in one of the previous shows was, one of the fundamental things is proper cleaning. You can't sanitize until you've cleaned properly. And... no amount of sanitizer is going to sanitize a dirty vessel.
That's absolutely correct. We do the two shows separately, cleaning and then now sanitizing, but they really go hand in hand. You cannot sanitize a dirty vessel. Either the bacteria is going to stay underneath the dirt or the organic material, or the dirt that's on the vessel is going to make your sanitizer not work.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're absolutely potential. Correct. You must clean first, and you always do. In food processing, we always clean, rinse, then sanitize. It's just it's a two-step process, clean, then sanitize.
Always a two-step, and there's no one product that does both truly effectively and doesn't leave some sort of residual that you don't want in your beer.
Anyone, there's a couple out there on the market that claim to be a one-step cleaner sanitizer, and I'll argue with them that they are not one step. The cleaner may also sanitize, but you have to do it in a two-step process. You must first clean, rinse, and then come back and sanitize. So anyone who is out on the market claiming that their product saves them time by putting it in and it's a one-step process, it's bogus. Don't fall for it.
Okay, and I'm with you 100% on that, and I think you know, it's like anything, where it's like when you go to clean and wax your car, you get those one step things, a huge difference if you clean your vehicle properly and then apply a good wax to it, and you know, it's the combined products tend to do a decent job, but not nearly as effective. And I think when you're out to make the best beer possible, paying close attention to your cleaning and sanitizing steps are very important. All right, so John, so now that we understand what sanitizing is, what's our steps? Give us some basic methods. Let's say I've got my fermentation vessel, and let's say for a carboy, for a plastic bucket, for a plastic carboy, for a stainless steel conical, how do I sanitize those things?
Well, you have a lot of options to sanitize, just like you did when you cleaned. You can soak it, you can manual clean it, but and you have various different sanitizers, different types of chemicals, and the one you pick would change how you would do it. So the best advice is always read the instructions on whatever bottle you have. If we're going to talk about, say, Star Sand, for example, your carboy, best recommendation is to fill it up, to add 1 ounce and 5 gallons of water, and let it soak. Minimum contact time of about 3 minutes, and you're good to go. Now, some guys like to shake it up. They like to add the Star Sand in first and let the foam go in there, and the foam will kill. It's just that contact time of the solution, the sanitizing solution, that does the kill.
What makes it a sanitizer? I mean, what's different from Star Sand than, let's say, a PBW that actually kills the bugs?
Well, Star Sand is an acid anionic, which kills, where PBW is an alkali. It's on the wrong side of the pH scale. Some people claim that, say, straight caustic, if you boil straight caustic, it will have some sanitizing effects, and that's true to a certain point, but it's also because you're boiling it and it's burning the piss out of the metal in the surface. But PBW does not kill. It will physically remove the bugs or the dirt, but it won't kill them. To the point where we can measure it and call it a sanitized surface. So Star Sand, what it does, the best way to explain Star Sand is it has the wetting agent, which goes in, opens up the surface, allows the acid to go in and kill it from the inside out.
By wetting agent, you mean a surfactant?
Correct.
Okay. And it actually, so it's an acid, there's a pH where that becomes effective or non-effective, hence the dilution you're talking about, right?
Exactly. Star Sand, in particular, the pH below 3.5 is where it's active.
Okay.
And every sanitizer has an optimal pH range. For example, sodium hypochlorite, which is common household bleach, a lot of people use that to sanitize, but you're not killing, you will kill certain things, but you won't kill larger organisms or yeast at the natural pH that it sits at. If you take bleach and put it into water, you're going to get a pH of around 12. It won't kill unless you get the pH of around 9. So that's a disadvantage a lot of people don't know about bleach. It's a little tricky to deal with. Star Sand's nice. You add it to the water. It's already there. The pH is where it's at, and you go.
You might clean John Palmer's conscience after GABF.
Now, what about another common product people use iota for? Now,
yep.
Now, how does that work, and what's the proper pH for that?
Iodine is another halogen, just like chlorine is, and the The natural, when you put it in a solution, it's actually an insoluble rock, believe it or not. But we solubilize it with surfactants and various things, or emulsify it, sorry, is the proper word. And the proper pH should be less than 5. Anything above that, and it'll actually create a gas, which is very dangerous.
Yes, we're creating gases in the studio right now, I think.
But that one's it's a no-brainer again. It should always live in that acidic pH. It shouldn't go as low as star sand would, though. It would probably be around 4.
But iodophore, it doesn't kill the bacteria the same way that star sand does. Does it, or it's a different mechanism?
Well, completely different mechanism. It's a halogen.
So it just kind of poisons it?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're going to be like radioactive or something? I don't know. Iodine radioactivity after putting that in your,
No, iodine is, when used at the correct concentration, won't harm you or your beer. Now, some people do suggest that it will impart flavors into the beer, but it is a no-rinse sanitizer when used at around 12.5 to 25 parts per million. The biggest disadvantage with iodine is it turns everything red. Red or purple. That's also one of the greatest advantages, is you've known where you've applied it, and wherever you've applied it, it's killed it. So it works. It will kill.
Well, and I think one thing that you're bringing up now that really applied in the cleaning show was you need to know your concentration of your products, right? So don't just willy-nilly pour some in and look for color or foam or whatever it might be. I mean, that's fine, but measuring your amount of your sanitizer and making an appropriate solution actually can be far more effective than just randomly dumping some in, right?
You're absolutely correct, Jamil. There's two issues that come to mind. Number one, if you don't have enough, you're not going to kill. All sanitizers are tested by a third-party lab and then sent to the EPA to be verified that, yes, they kill and they do exactly what we say they do. Well, those are under certain circumstances. So, for example, star sand, it's 1 ounce and 5 gallons of water. That will kill. If you go less than that, say a half an ounce, I can't guarantee that it's going to kill, because I ran it at the specific concentration. On the flip side, if I go too concentrated, now is it going to kill? You betcha. But it's going to exceed the no rinse. And so now you could be at a level where the residual in your equipment could be harmful to you.
And can that star sand, if you have it, let's say, in a bottle per se, will it have the same effectiveness if you spray it on something?
Correct. Yes. With star sand, with all of them, it's contact time.
Okay.
So star sand, you could spray it on the surface instead of, say, soaking it. You could mist it or spray it on through a spray bottle. You just have to make sure that the surface that you want to sanitize remains wet for, I'm saying 3 minutes because that's what my label is. I actually get killed within 30 seconds. I get my sanitizing within 30 seconds, but all my labels and everything, I say 3 minutes just to cover myself.
But keep it wet for 30 seconds at least?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like to keep it wet longer than that, but that's me. I like the wetness factor.
30's it for me, so that's good.
That's as long as Justin can last.
The pH is low enough.
He likes the paper towel. Get dry.
Okay. All right. With all that fine radio passing through here, let's take a break and compose ourselves better, and we'll get back into sanitizing right after this.
Brew right. Brew smart. Brew strong. Strong.
Hey, Push, the new brewery's looking good.
Thanks, Finn. Piece by piece.
Well, let's fire her up. Whoa! Is that a new kettle?
Yeah, just got it brand new, but paid half price.
What? And that blade scale?
40% off.
The new tap handle?
$5 instead of 13. Got a new regulator for the brew stand, too, but $5 instead of 25.
Dude, where are you stealing all this stuff from?
Where else? The More Beer Deal of the Day.
Announcing the Beer, Beer, and More Beer Deal of the Day. Every day, a new fantastic deal from big items to small that will blow you away. Boil kennels, carboy carriers, sterile siphon starters, digital timers. Watch morebeer.com every day for a new deal, and you just might find the item you've been waiting for at a price you cannot believe. Hurry, because stock is limited on most items.
And that sweet Guinness cap, let me guess.
The More Beer Deal of the Day.
Yeah, I knew it. Come on, let's brew something. Find the More Beer Deal of the Day at morebeer.com. Celebrity voices impersonated.
Hi, I'm Sean O'Sullivan, the brewmaster and co-founder of the 21st Amendment Brewery and Restaurant in San Francisco. 6 years ago, Nico Freccia and I opened the 21st Amendment on 2nd Street with the intent of bringing back the local neighborhood brew pub. Well, the neighborhood has really changed over the years, but the 21st Amendment still remains a great place for people to meet over a terrific meal and a tasty pint of beer. In the past, the only way you could enjoy the 21st Amendment's handcrafted beers was at the brew pub. Well, all that has changed. Now, the 21st Amendment beers are available in cans. That's right, cans. When was the last time you had a great beer in a can? Well, that day has come. We're offering our world-famous watermelon wheat and 21A IPA in cans. Cans are a better package than glass because cans keep the beer fresher longer, but you can also take cans to places where bottles can't go, like the beach, lake, golf courses, and sporting events. So join us in the revolution to take back the can from the big breweries and crack open a cold 21A craft beer in a can. The 21st Amendment, 563 Second Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park.
Okay, I rolled a 15 and I get a +2 from my yeast starter.
Nope, sorry, you failed your roll. Your beer is infected.
No way.
You had to beat a 24. It's schizosaccharomyces.
This sucks. I just failed versus oxidation. Our party is fracked. Doug's the only one left and his beer is a Berliner Weiss.
What's this? A tea party?
Hey, this is a brew session, man. Get lost.
Is that an actual beer?
Yeah, I crafted it. I don't really use the dice anymore. I'm a 10th level beer nerd.
Are you a 10th level beer nerd? Does your significant other know the difference between an Irish red ale and a Flanders red ale? Do you burp, strizzle, spalt, and fart Y-Yeast 2308? Then you're in good company at Northern Brewer. Northern Brewer has all your beer nerd needs, ingredients, equipment, and knowledge 24 hours a day at northernbrewer.com. Plus, fast, cheap shipping, only $7.99 for the contiguous USA. And check out Northern Brewer's huge selection of dorky beer kits, including the socially awkward Patter's beer and the sci-fi convention showstopper number 8. Make 10th level at northernbrewer.com.
This is www.thebrewingnetwork.com.
Sit down next to it, grab yourself a paper towel, and watch those yeast have sex.
You're listening to the Brewing Network.
Back to the beer guys that make other beer guys look like wine guys. Brew strong.
We're back. We're talking sanitizing with John Herskovitz from Five Star. I've also got in studio here my good buddy, John Palmer, and also my another friend from up north, Nick Burton. Yeah, he comes from like the North Pole.
Yeah. I live in the I lived close to Jameel for 5 years, and you know, the first time I ever saw him, emailed him back and forth for a year, was at the GABF. Actually, I had to go to Colorado to see, even though I lived 20 minutes away.
That's right. I pretty much blew him off for a couple of years and told him, no, sorry, I'm too busy. Come back later.
Actually, met John Palmer and Jameel for the first time together. I didn't know which one was which. Saw Palmer, and he was...
I was the attractive
one. We did
look
like brothers. You know?
Yeah, a little bit. A little twins. Yeah. Like, both look a little like Denzel, I think.
Jay-Z must not have had his hat on.
He didn't have his hat on.
Didn't have my Pope hat. Yeah. There you go. All right, so I'm sorry, where were we? We were talking sanitizing with John, who's very kindly joined us
from Colorado.
And we were talking about contact times and how long to keep it wet. And
you like it wet for a while, and was it Nick only likes it for 30 seconds?
That was Justin.
It will be 30 seconds. I'm sorry about that, Justin.
John, you should have known that by now.
I apologize, Nick.
That's okay.
Some people are contact time challenged.
Yeah. So 3 minutes by formal law, but you're probably starting to get some, you know, by then all the kill you're going to get is done by 3 minutes. You're not going to get any more kill by leaving it 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
We're talking about Starsyn now, correct?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I just got to qualify that.
No, I think that's important, yeah.
I get kill almost instantly, mm-hmm. starting to kill.
Right.
I get acceptable kill within 30 seconds. 3 minutes is where I would consider it sanitized. The longer, sure, longer, better. I know guys that do it for half an hour or an hour. They even leave it in overnight. Mm-hmm. You're not going to do any harm in doing that. Any benefit? I've killed everything within 3 minutes. So,
okay.
You know,
well, where at what point do you reach disinfection level? I mean, is it 3 minutes or 10 minutes or?
It would be an increased concentration level and an increased time. So I would have to increase the concentration probably 2 to 3 times the amount, if not 5 times, and a longer contact time of, say, 10 to 15
minutes. So an ounce per gallon at that point and maybe
10
15
to 15 minutes, and then you would be disinfecting.
Yeah, but we don't need to. I mean, that's overkill.
Yeah, and to be honest, that number's I'm pulling that out of
the
top of my head. Yeah. I have no proof on that.
Now I know people are going to ask, it's like, is there a point where you could actually sterilize with Starsyn at a certain concentration and time?
Maybe. to sterilize.
Because you got the spores and the cysts and things like that that need to be broken down.
Could you go to that level? Yes, a high enough concentration, a long enough time, you could be getting to larger organisms. However, the only reason you ever need to get to that level is for medical facilities such as hospitals.
John, you haven't seen my brewery.
John Palmer talked about his favorite thing with TTNA last time in the cleaning show, and
yeah.
He had the time. We got that nailed. We know 3 minutes, and then the other T, temperature. Does that matter when you're using a Starsyn more effective at, let's say, 110, 115 F or 60 degrees
T? Temperature is very important. However, normal lukewarm water is ideal.
And how about the A? Do we leave the A off?
Agitation. Agitation is always is great. However, it's not necessary
if you've properly cleaned, right?
Yes, if you properly clean and you get it in there, it's the same. I mean, when people talk about PBW and they say, you know, I soaked it overnight and everything went away and it worked, or I took it and in 30 seconds I used a sponge or a scrub pad and I scrubbed it. Well, that's the agitation. Hmm. As far as killing, everything's already removed because you cleaned it, so now we're in there killing. It's that contact time that's really doing it. Agitation probably doesn't do you anything except get into the cracks and crevices. But if you're using a proper sanitizer, you're getting in there anyway. So, no, don't worry about agitation.
All right.
Okay.
Good to know.
But
John,
the temperature, though, it is important to not exceed. Say, Starsyn, for example, don't go above 110 or 120.
Okay.
Is there a lower limit, freezing, or?
Well, I mean, if it's solid.
Clean ice right there.
Then you can't really kill anything, can you?
Right.
But trying to acidify, when you acidify the water, it will lower the freezing point.
Hydrogen ions.
But it'll sanitize just as effectively at 40 degrees F or, you know, 10 C as it will at, you know, 20 C or 30 C,
yes.
Right?
Correct.
Okay. One question I'm at the Hammond Johns, we're talking about these, you know, Starsyn, iodophore. Those are, in my opinion, I guess, are the most too effective in terms of, you know, contact time and cost to convenience to a home brewer, at least in the U.S. But if you know other parts of the world, or you know if you don't have you know access to iodophore or Starsyn, you know what's the next best alternative? I mean, is it heat? Is it Lysol? Is it, you know, bleach? I mean, what's the next best alternative to Starsan and iodophore?
Oh, that's now we're going to get into, you know, personal preference.
That's why we're broadcasting versus, you know,
brewing strong.
Yeah,
heat works. Okay, boiling water will work. Steam works. That will kill. In fact, that's what industry used to use before we started using chemicals. So if you've got nothing else, boil the water. Take a pot, start boiling water, and dip all your tools in that hot water for a period of time, and that will kill. So that's, in a pinch, a good way to do it. Problem is that takes a long time to boil the water and a lot of energy, and then you're dealing with hot metal.
Longer contact time and a lot more dangerous, I would think.
Well, and, you know, most plastics that I know, when you heat them to those temperatures, usually degrade or go back to their original state. Mm-hmm. So you break those down, and so that's not a good thing to elevate the temperature to that point.
Warp your racking tube kind of thing.
Exactly. If you wanted a chemical, common household bleach will work. Sodium hypochlorite will kill. Okay, do not exceed 200 parts per million. Above 200 parts per million, you're definitely beyond no rinse. You would have to rinse after that.
So that's beyond 1 tablespoon per gallon, right?
Well, again, now it depends on the concentration you're starting with.
And how warped the tube is, John.
Yeah, yeah. What? But,
I mean, most common household bleach is like 2.25%, 2.5%. You can get some that's 5.25%. I'll go all the way up to 10 or 12%.
But you were saying earlier that bleach is more effective as a sanitizer when it's at a pH of 9 versus a pH of 12.
Yeah.
So you need a certain amount of dilution with bleach for it to actually sanitize, right?
Correct. Well, but what you would have to do to activate and get that down is you'd have to acidify it. Because no matter what you do, when you took the bleach and you put, say, you were saying a tablespoon in a gallon of water or a tablespoon in 5 gallons of water, for example, or 1 ounce in 5 gallons of water would get you close. You would need to add a little vinegar to lower the pH. The problem is if you lower it too much, you're going to release chlorine gas and then kill yourself. So don't do that.
Yeah, that's one of the drawbacks, I think, there. If you kill yourself, it makes it hard to get your next batch.
Mustard gas. If there's anything we learned from, you know, those
World War II or World War I.
Seventh grade science class. Yeah.
World War One. Yes.
Yeah, World War One is mustard gas kills people. So I do not recommend anyone ever add vinegar or any acid to bleach. Yes, you can do it if you know what you're doing, but it's very dangerous. Just don't do it. I'd rather you double up on the bleach and have a longer contact time, and you will kill most organisms. You're not going to kill the larger stuff, but you will kill most things. Other options, hydrogen peroxide. A lot of people love peroxyacetic acid and hydrogen peroxide because they're environmentally friendly. They break down to vinegar and water.
How do you make that solution? You pour, you know, straight 3% hydrogen peroxide on the surface, or what do we do there?
Well, now we're going to get creative.
Okay.
Hydrogen peroxide 3% would definitely kill. Peroxyacetic acid, I believe the numbers are going to need to be around 640 parts per million or higher in order to kill, which would be pretty high. 3% peroxide is pretty strong, but it would definitely work, and you need longer contact time. But it will have some biocidal claims. In fact, the hydrogen peroxide that's sold in the stores is all sold as mouthwash. You put it in your mouth and it burns like heck. But what it's doing is it's killing any bacteria that happens to be in your mouth.
So if you've got, assuming the average brewer can get Starsan or iodophore, comparable product around the world, you know, sometimes I feel like I've, no offense, but I put your kids through college, I've used so much Starsan in my brewery. I want to know, what can I use this stuff for? I mean, not only just for sanitizing during the brew day, but... you know, I've got these beer lines.
Cocktails?
Cocktails, exactly.
Mouthwash?
Roofies. No, I don't know what it can be used for, mouthwash. But can I use this for cleaning my beer lines? Let's say I have, you know, some lines I've got Russian Imperial Stout in that's, you know, 3 months old and I want to clear them out. Will it penetrate the plastics to do that? Cleaning out the plastic brew bucket, the Erlenmeyer flask to make a starter, etc.?
Yes.
Yes.
Short, quick answer is yes. There's amazing other applications for it. However, I have to be very careful. In order to get the EPA to put a nice little stamp that says that they are going to certify that it kills, if you ever look at a label of Star San, the very first line of anything that has an EPA sanitizer on there says this can only be used. It's a violation of federal law to use this in any way, shape, or form that's outside of what's on the label.
Right.
So it's to sanitize a non-porous hard surface. Well, most labels, when we go to the EPA and get stuff, our labels are 10, 12, 15 pages long, and they're like 8-point font because of all the various applications. They want you to list everything. But it's to be used on this.
But for general brewing applications, it pretty much these products, Iota 4, Star San, can be used to clean anything that needs to be clean that the beer is going to be touching on the cold side then.
Yes. Well, and you're mixing up word clean and sanitize.
Okay. Sanitize, I should say.
Yeah, but that was another show, cleaning.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
One show.
Yes, they can be used on all the surfaces. To disinfect, say, a carpet, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it.
Right, right.
Because okay. That's considered a porous material.
Yeah, and Iota 4 is going to stain your vinyl and plastic materials in the brewery, too.
Yes, it will. It'll kill.
Yeah.
But it will definitely stain it. That's the biggest complaint I have in all the large breweries is they use Iota 4 and they swear by it, but eventually they can't see the beer flowing through their lines anymore because they're all red or purple. Which is okay because then I turn around and sell them a new hose. Okay. And that's where I put my kids through college.
But they can, yeah, there you go. Well, creative man. So it can be used in for any of these purposes here. Then how about you know, brew day comes, you've cleaned these things, we understand the contact time. Are professional brewers also using something like Star San? I mean, is this something just the home brewers using, or is this something that everyone's using out there?
Well, Star San's been around for a very long time. It originally started in the dairy industry. We came up with Star San to replace Iota 4s in the dairy industries, and that's the main area we started in. A lot of them use it as part soaking. They don't in the large breweries. They don't really like the foam. Home brewers love the foam because it gets up and around. But when you're CIPing and putting things through high pressure spray balls, they don't really like that shaving cream foam that Star San will create. So they use Star San for part soaking, manual cleaning, spraying, sanitizing around the small parts and tubes and such. But whenever they're CIPing their large tanks, they would use something such as SantaClean.
Okay. Let's define that real quick, John. CIP meaning clean in place, right?
Clean in place. Basically, you hook a pump up to the bottom. You've got tanks that could be a couple hundred gallons up to a couple thousand gallons or even larger. And to CIP, basically, you put a spray ball up in the top. It's kind of like a sprinkler head, I guess, and a small amount, and say with 50 gallons of water or cleaning solution, you recirc that through the tank, and it sprays and coats the sides of the tank down, and then they just pump it through instead of, saying, filling up 3,000 gallons and letting it soak. That would waste an awful lot of money.
That's right. That's one reason when I use Star San, I often put it in a spray bottle and or just mix up a quart of Star San solution and put it in the glass carboy, shake it all around, let the foam coat every surface, and that does the sanitizing for me rather than trying to make 5 gallons of Star San solution and let that soak there. I can get the same result with just foam or just getting it wet.
That's a wonderful creative use.
So we don't need a biohazard suit and a laminar flow hood and a
We do. Come on, that's the reality.
Great homebrewers, right? Yeah.
I always tell people to wear their personal protective equipment, wear your gloves, safety glasses, but star sand, or get once your wife you've diluted it in 1 ounce and 5 gallons of water, it's not going to hurt anyone.
Uh-huh.
Right now, it's just to keep our personal contamination contained so we don't contaminate other things. That's why we need the biohazard suits. It's not for fear of the star sand. It's for fear of ourselves.
What kind of personal contamination you've got over there.
We do need that from you.
Right. Well, and that brings up an interesting point. Now how let's say we mix up an appropriate solution of star sand, we mix up an appropriate solution of iodophore, we mix up an appropriate solution of bleach. How long are these solutions stable for? How long can we keep them? How do we tell if they're no longer effective? Stuff like that. Now, me, I'm just mixing up fresh stuff all the time, and I, you know, being rich and famous off of this show, I'm able to afford copious amounts of sanitizer. But not everybody listening is in the same position as I am.
Right.
So how long would that spray bottle of sanitizer last?
Every single one of those is different. Bleach immediately starts volatilizing the moment. I mean, it's constantly, even in the concentrated form, degrading. If I had 10% bleach, it's stable for maybe a month, and then it drops to 8%. 5 1/4 stable for, say, 6 months. 2 1/4 stable for about a year or longer. But if you have a jug of bleach and you've had that in your house for, say, 2 or 3 years, it's not at 2% bleach or 5% bleach anymore. It's actually less. Same thing with your sanitizing solution when you dilute it down. It immediately starts volatizing and the chlorine goes away. So the best advice when you're dealing with bleach is get chlorine test strips. Uh-huh. You want something that measures the available chlorine, and you want to make sure that you're more than 20 parts per million, preferably 50 or 100, no more than 200. Okay? That's bleach. Iodophore, same thing. Iodine will degrade. Okay, it will volatilize. It has a tendency of degrading and going down. Not like the bleach though. Bleach does it so fast. Iodine, I've got iodine that I pulled out. That's 5-10 years old. And measured it, and it's exactly the same it was in the very beginning when you store it properly. Once you put it into, say, a solution, you make up a 25 parts per million solution, it will start to go away over time. Even over 24 hours, it will lose its strength. So, again, the best advice is an iodine test strip. You just dip it in, and it tells you where you're at. One indicator, though, with the iodine is the color. Some people have calibrated eyes. They can look at it and tell you pretty much where it's at. If the solution is clear, like water, you're not killing. You don't have a high enough solution. If it's looks like chocolate milk or looks really milky, like the concentrated, you're probably way too strong. So, but it's somewhere in the middle.
Diet Coke, right?
Yeah, somewhere like that. Star sand. The answer to star sand is the pH below 3.5 and is the solution clear? Okay, and actually the answer is star sand and Santoclean. They're both the same thing. Right. Those acid anionics. As long as your solution is below 3.5, you're fine and your solution is clear. Both products have a tendency of reacting with heavy metals and water, and the solution can turn cloudy.
So I was going to say, assuming you're using it right, then it could be a good indefinitely, the star sand.
If you used distilled water,
okay,
and you made up your solution and you stored it properly in a closed container, yeah, okay. It will not break down. It's not going to be bad, and it'll stay there, yeah, indefinitely.
Because if this is all right, I got a question to ask Jamil and you then. Okay, so... assuming these products are working just fine, you know, let's say I'm bottling my beer. I brought Jamil over a Scottish 60 ale the other day, wanted him to taste it, and he says, this is pretty good ale. I think you should enter it in a competition as maybe a Berliner Weiss beer, Scottish 60. I'm like, oh, man. And obviously, I tasted one of his, and it was flawless, and his was like 6 years old in the bottling process. Is there something you should do to keep these beers clean with these products?
Definitely sanitize your bottles. You must sanitize the bottles. Anyone who doesn't is foolish. Anyone who just uses straight tap water, no. You sanitize your bottles. Don't fear the foam if you're going to talk about Star Sand from that standpoint. And don't be afraid of it imparting off odors and flavors. That's the best advice. And if you want it to last 5 years, sanitize all your equipment, your bottling, your filler, inside out, outside of the bottles, you name it. Just sanitize everything.
And ensure that those bottles are clean. I can't tell you the number of times people are like, oh, yeah, I rinse out my bottles really well, and then I sanitize them, and, you know, they'll use them, and, you know, the crud that builds up in those bottles from storing beer in them, especially homebrew that's unfiltered.
Homebrew, and a cigarette butt falls out.
Yeah, you know, you gotta make sure that those bottles are spotlessly clean before you sanitize them. Now, my trick is to use brand new bottles every time. I don't reuse bottles. I give them away to other home brewers or I recycle them. And it may be to the extreme, but I'm very lazy. And, you know, the problem with cleaning, you know, is something that has got that narrow an opening, and it's very difficult to see inside. They're opaque or, you know, almost nearly so with the brown bottles. It makes it very difficult to ensure that you're spotlessly clean. But, you know, make sure spotlessly clean and then sanitize appropriately.
Now, Jamil, you buy brand new bottles every time. Do you clean it and then sanitize it? Just fill?
I always sanitize. Now, you know, cleaning, it depends. You know, generally, I'm fine with just rinsing them out. I do a rinse stage first, and then I sanitize in order to, you know, but generally, I don't clean them if they're brand new bottles.
The other area that a lot of people don't even think about is the crown or the cap.
Yeah, caps need to be sanitized, everything, and you need to make sure you and your wife are wearing masks and gloves.
Slave labor.
No.
Pope hats.
You know, maybe that's the way that works for me, but...
When I was brewing, the first time I went to bottle, and I keg all my beer now, but when I was putting things into bottles, we spent so much time cleaning and sanitizing the bottle and then grabbed the cap right out of the bag. And afterwards, I put them on. I said, oh, man, I didn't sanitize those caps.
Well, and if you've been to you know, a place where they break down these grosses of caps down into small bags that you buy at the homebrew shop, they're not doing that under, you know, totally sterile conditions. They're just grabbing a handful out of the bag and, you know, and toss them in there and weighing them out. You got to sanitize those things. And even if they're oxy caps, and I know people say, well, you know, the second they get wet, the oxygen absorbing quality of the cap is, you know, don't care. I want them sanitized before they go on my beer. Far more important, you know, and I go those routes. One thing I wanted to say about iodophore and the concentration of iodophore, you know, if you've got the ability to somehow detect parts per million of iodophore, that would be amazing. I think a lot of homebrewers do it that way. And the problem is the path that you're looking through at the time when you're judging the color, you know, the thicker the path, so, you know, you got a larger volume of iodophore and you're looking through 10 inches of it versus, you know, 1 inch of it, you're going to, you know, the color's going to appear different. Same thing on the reflectivity and opacity of the background and, you know, the vessel you're looking through, lighting, the type of light, all these things are going to affect the color that you see in your iodophore. Put your iodophore in a white plastic bucket. Put your iodophore in a glass vessel. Put your iodophore in something else, you know, a stainless vessel. And tell me the color of those three things is the same or are they totally different. So you need to measure. And you don't need, you know, the test strips are good, but if you're, you know, if you want to see over time, but, you know, measure out your concentration, you know, before you add to your water and, you know, same thing with Star Sand, measure these things. You'll save money and you'll also, both from not using enough or using too much, you know.
Where are we going to get iodophore test strips?
They'll send them to you. Every large bottle of BTF iodophore, it's got a little thing on the back says for a free 25 test strips, just send this in. They send them to you.
It's good to know.
So it's not on the small bottles, but it's on the big bottles.
You have to buy the 32-ounce
right,
to get your free test strips.
Yeah, I'll use 32 ounces in an afternoon, you know.
That's right, in the clean room.
When I fill the bathtub up and then, you know,
there we go.
Sanitize myself before brewing.
There you go.
You know, it doesn't go very far.
Are you baking your counter-pressure bottle filler? I heard rumors that you did that.
I don't use bacon in any part of my brewing process.
Smoky.
I think if it would be possible for you to
Jamil,
win more, you'd win
more
than.
Do you want
then.
A titration kit?
A titration kit?
Yeah, do you want something so you can titrate it and measure the exact parts per billion or parts per million by titrating it? Instead of doing test strips?
Because
that's how we do it in the lab. You know?
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, especially, you know, if you're in the concentrated solution and you're, you know, storing it properly, you know, good measuring, you know, you'll turn out the correct, you know, in between 12 and a half, 25 parts per million, you can get right in there just by measuring.
One thing also is how old is the stuff? I know some guys, you know, they go through it every month. Other people that don't brew as often, they're sitting on sanitizers for a long time.
Right.
You know, I get guys that call me up and say, hey, I've had the Star Sand for 2 or 3 years. Is it still good?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with iodoforce, iodine. The recommended on almost all chemicals is 1 year. Now, is it still good after that? Probably. Star sand doesn't degrade. It's probably going to be still good. But remember, UV light, heat, temperature, high temperatures will break chemicals down. UV light will break chemicals down. So if you're going to store them over long periods of time, put them in a cabinet away and out of heat. The worst thing you could do is be in the middle of Arizona and put it in a shed outside all summer long and have it be 120 degrees, 140 what it probably gets to in the middle of Arizona.
The window in the shed.
You know, a lot of guys, the big breweries that store them for long periods of time, put them in the coolers.
So, John, I've ended up with a bottle of Star Sand. We do all our brewing outside and keep our chemicals out there, too. And you know how over time it can change color pretty drastically. Like, I've used some pretty brown Star Sand compared to that really light tan that it is when I bought it. Is that an indication that I've let too much UV light ruin the chemical?
The chemical is fine.
Okay.
You're absolutely correct that UV light is changing it. Time will change it. I have Star Sand, when it gets manufactured, depending upon my mood, I guess, or the process in the manufacturing when they make it. If they roast one of the things too long, it gets brown. It has no effect. You can get a milk or a very, very dark chocolatey, almost like an iodine, all the way down to where you can see straight through it. No effect on the chemical, one little bit.
Okay, so no indication that I need to throw out that bottle of Star Sand.
No. I hate to say it's this simple, but with that bottle of Star Sand, if when you use it, is the pH going to be below 3.5? Put it in there, the pH should drop to around 2, the right concentration. If that pH is in there, you've got foam, you're good. You're going to be killing.
Okay.
I'm that confident in my product that it works.
Both Johns, what do you guys feel about isopropyl alcohol?
At 70%.
At 70%. A lot of guys will use that, you know. And is that something that, you know, it's going to affect the flavor of my beer? Or?
Yeah, you don't really want it in your beer.
No, don't do it.
Okay.
I'll go out on the limb and say no. I heard a couple of you guys say yes. Yes, isopropyl alcohol will kill. 70 to 90% will kill. However, it is not a good sanitizer because it flashes. Okay, so when you put it on a surface and that surface is wet, it gets dry real fast. Well, you got to have a contact time of probably 5 to 10 minutes in order to get proper kill.
So it evaporates too soon.
Yeah.
It evaporates way too soon before you get the kill. And so in reality, it's not a good sanitizer.
Okay.
However, the wonderful thing is that it evaporates, so it should not impart any flavors. I mean, it dissipates and goes away.
So that was obviously my fermentation temperature then in that beer.
If you were to fill your containers and soak them and cover all parts and keep it for a proper period of time, wonderful. It'll work. But you're going to spend a lot of money.
So you'd say Iota 4 Star Sand in a spray bottle over isopropyl alcohol then?
You betcha.
Okay.
Let's see here. 5-gallon bucket. I put 1 ounce of Star Sand in it, and you figure out how much that costs. Where isopropyl alcohol, in order to do it properly, you would have to fill it with 5 gallons of isopropyl, which probably costs you,
a lot more than Star Sand.
Well, and I think the reason to use the isopropyl when doing yeast management, and you want something, you don't want residual Star Sand or Iota 4 mixed in with your yeast and your yeast samples. So when I'm working with plates and slants and things like that, I'm going to use isopropyl just so I can again be ensured there's no residual killing power there, because I think that would have an effect.
Okay.
Well, it will evaporate and it does its job. I mean, in the labs, that's what we use, because it does not have any residual effect.
Right.
The one thing though is, remember that 3.5 mark. A lot of people, one of the questions about Star Sand is, if I have a little bit of foam or a little bit of product in my fermenter, and then I throw my beer in there, is it going to kill the yeast? And the answer is no, because the beer is going to overpower it and raise the pH above that 3.5. It should be higher, right? 4, 5, 6, mm-hmm. wherever it's going to be. And it immediately stops and won't kill.
So Justin shouldn't have thrown out a Star Sand beer then. Oh, man, you could have fermented it.
That's what I've been told since that happened, that I could have fermented it.
Yeah, but it was like 50% Star Sand, wasn't it?
It was. But really, Jamil, do you think it would have been any worse than my other beers?
No, probably would have been
so
just fine.
So I really should have fermented it.
Yeah.
It would have fermented like crazy.
Wow.
That's right.
Charlie Talley told us that, too.
If there were nutrients in there, it would have gone and done amazing.
We spoke to Charlie Talley a few years ago about the same thing, and he said the same thing you're saying, John. He said it would have gone crazy.
Yeah.
John, I have thought of another question. How well does Iota 4 work in a spray bottle? Would you get enough contact time with Iota 4 in a spray bottle for most brewing equipment, do you think? I think that the contact time requirement for Iota 4 is like, 2 to 5 minutes versus...
Yeah, it's 2 to 5 minutes. I would say yes. I would say Iota 4 should work, as long as you can keep it up in there and keep the thing wet. With Iota 4, though, it's solution. Some Iota 4s will foam, some are low foam, and so you may not get the same wicking depending upon how it's emulsified. But I wouldn't be opposed to an Iota 4 in a spray bottle.
Okay.
All right, so...
It's not my favorite, but I don't like things turning colors.
Mm-hmm.
My hands in particular. Now, you guys want to know what you do to get that Iota 4 off your hands?
Hmm. Well, actually, I do. Want to take a short break.
Okay.
And when we get back, we'll kind of get into getting Iota 4 off your hands. And then I want to answer Ross's questions about sanitizing like oxygenation stones and things like that. Back after this.
Smart. Brew strong. This is Brew Strong.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their Williams German Pils is mashed with pure German Moravian two-row barley malt for a light blonde color and malty crispness you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out their unique fermenters, draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and more. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to williamsbrewing.com to browse their vast selection and enter promo code BREW at the order checkout for $5 off your next order over $50. Orders placed by 3 p.m. ship the same day. Again, go to williamsbrewing.com and enter promo code BREW at checkout for $5 off your next order. Brewing is easy the Williams way.
What have you gotten out of a vial of White Labs yeast?
WLP-001, Cal Ale, baby!
23, Burton Ale.
008, East Coast Ale.
Cal Common, WLP-810.
It's gonna be WLP-400 with beer!
I got a sweet hoodie for my vial.
Huh?
White Labs, your source for great brewer's yeast, would like to invite all homebrewers to join the White Labs Customer Club. Redeem your empty vials for great White Labs merchandise and products. Free yeast, glassware, t-shirts, baseball caps, sweatshirts, polo shirts, and you won't believe what you'll get for 5,000 vials. Members also receive a newsletter packed with White Labs updates and facts, interviews with professional brewers, brew your own clone recipes, beercook.com recipes, and customer club stories. The White Labs Customer Club. Save your vials and get in the club. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. It's exactly. So easy.
Just throw it together.
Put some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah.
It's beer. The Brewing Network.
Like the Lance Armstrong of the beer world. Except for that nut thing.
This is Brew Strong.
Well, we're back. We're talking sanitization with John Herskovitz of Five Star. And, John, you're going to tell us before the break about getting the iota 4 color off of your hands.
Isopropyl alcohol. What you guys just wanted to use to sanitize is actually alcohol. Iodines are soluble in alcohol. And so if you get it on your hands and you can't get it off with soap and water, well, it's because iodine is insoluble in water. And so spray a little bit of IPA or even vodka, for that matter, on it, and it'll take it right off.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, our hands are usually soaking in alcohol, you know, sloppy pores and things like that. So maybe that's why we didn't notice a problem.
Okay.
You can put an India Pale Ale on it, huh, too, huh?
Well...
Not that IPA,
isopropyl alcohol.
Oh, okay.
I figured Michael Jackson could help me figure out how to get the color out of my skin, but not the beer guy.
Oh yeah.
Funny
okay.
Man.
So, all right. So Ross also had an interesting question. You know, oxygenation stones. So, real fine sintered piece of metal that you have trouble getting liquids into, that sort of thing. Chemical sanitizing of the stone. I've always wondered about that myself, and what my preference has always been to sterilize it. 250 wet for at least 20 some odd minutes. Is it possible to get these sanitizers into the stone to truly sanitize it?
Sure. If you soaked it long enough, possibly. Can I guarantee it? No. I know a lot of people use StarSan and SantaClean for that application, for cleaning and sanitizing, because they have the most wicking and wetting over, say, a straight bleach, which doesn't have the surfactant in there. But they're very difficult because of the cracks. The best would definitely be heat, like
some
you said.
Boiling or
boiling it, yeah.
Flame.
Boiling it for half an hour would definitely guarantee that you got it. Problem is there chunks still in there? And that's the problem. It's not necessarily the kill, but it's the cleaning part.
Mm-hmm.
It's what is in there, that physical junk is in there that you got to get removed. Because could the sanitizers get in and clean? Yes. Could I kill it with chemical means? Oh, you betcha. I've got chemicals that are EPA kill in porous surfaces like 2x4s and carpets. But I wouldn't necessarily put them in something that I was going to put in beer. They kill by definition, and they would probably hurt you as well. So it is possible to get them clean, you're probably right, Jamil, with what you do.
Well, and what was interesting, the very first time I did this, a bunch of brake material, it looked like, came out of the stone into the liquid that I was that was in the vessel when I was sterilizing it. And I was shocked. So all the stuff came out of there. I'm like, hey, that's quite a testament there.
Yeah, it would. If you wanted to do a chemical means, I would definitely do a soak in PBW overnight,
mm-hmm.
and before I even attempted to sanitize it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So heat on that is probably one of the best methods, just because of the nature of the product with all those
all the pores
that are 5 microns or less. Another couple of good questions. Rinsing or not, and also if you're drip drying, how long do you drip dry?
Rinsing or not, no. Don't rinse.
Start saying, I mean?
Again, it depends on the chemical you're using and the concentration you're at. When using, say, StarSan or even iodophore at the appropriate levels, there are no rinse sanitizers, so don't rinse. If you rinse, you're introducing another source of bacteria.
Unless you're rinsing with boiled water or something.
Everyone does.
And
that.
Even then, I don't rinse. I think it's a big mistake. Extra work, and
right.
The products you're using, StarSan, iodophore, I can't taste them in water. I can't taste them. It's a real subtle effect, if any.
What are you putting in your airlock? Just wondering. You got to put a clean solution in there. You put StarSan in the airlock, or
I generally do StarSan.
Okay.
Just because I know that the solution is sanitary.
Yeah. Right.
I don't have to worry that, I don't have to boil water or put alcohol in there or anything like that.
Okay.
I the guys that I brew with put in vodka.
Yeah. I always use StarSan because...
I got it on hand.
Yeah.
I just sanitize all my
And if it gets sucked into the carboy, it's not going to contribute enough flavor.
I think
iodophore will. I mean, I've judged beers in competition where you can get some halogen bites.
I think if you use the right concentration.
Right, right.
There's people who did these tests, blind tests where they... calculated how much could be in there, and then went like 100 times more than that, and people still couldn't really pick it out of just plain water. So
iodine, there are some people who claim they can taste it.
Sure,
and everyone's
taste.
In fact, I know one guy who claims he can taste StarSan, but that's one. I've never heard of anyone else who can taste it, but it breaks down and it's natural in with the beer. So it goes into that, whereas the iodine is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
At the right concentration, you shouldn't taste it, but it is possible. To answer your question on how long to let it drip dry, we always, for StarSan, I say let it air dry. However, as long as you've had your proper contact time, you're good to go. If there's moisture inside, it's not going to harm anything. That's on StarSan.
Good to know.
On iodophores, you'd have a little bit higher of a risk. Chlorine, again, if you leave that chlorine solution in there and it's still a little wet, that chlorine is immediately going to go into your beer and then it's going to play with the chemistry. If you let it air dry, it should volatilize and go away. and so it should not harm the beer.
Okay.
So, is it important to just kind of off the cuff here, important to sterilize things like our mash tun or our lotter tun, maybe that's on the warm side every once in a while as well, for all grain brewers?
You know, it depends on who you talk to. I sell sanitizers for a living, so yes. I sanitize everything. Now, I get the chemicals, you know,
cheap,
since I make them. But I sanitize everything. I know some guys, no, they don't. They just don't mess with their mash or their hot liquor tank, for example.
Yeah, I never sanitize my brewing vessels. I mean, I clean them,
yeah,
but I don't sanitize them.
Same here.
You're going to be boiling, so it's probably a irrelevant step.
Yeah. I think, you know, long mash times, if you got, you know, I think cleaning's probably more important than sanitizing in those cases, because, you know, you build up some, you know, material in there, and it starts to, you know, get funky and sour. That can certainly add to the overall character of your beer.
Yeah,
it really depends on your setup. My best advice for guys who don't brew every single day is sanitize everything. That way you don't forget something.
That's true. At least then you know.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really going to... You can take the sanitizer from one tank, put it into the other tank, or carboy, whatever you're doing. And so it's not like you're wasting money. It's just a little bit more time. But you've guaranteed that you haven't forgotten something. When brew day comes around, normally you're freaking out about your recipes and did I remember everything? Did I pick everything up? And it's a whole day. You know, you're spending a lot of time on it. The last thing you need to be doing is sitting there thinking, Did I sanitize that vessel? Because I'm going to ferment in that one, you know? And so I recommend sanitizing everything.
Yeah, and I would say anything that makes your day easier and less stressful is a good thing to do. So if that adds to that reassurance and calmness for you, great. If the additional time it takes kind of freaks you out and makes you, you know, not be able to brew on a certain day, then maybe not. But, you know, I think, you know, good advice you got there as far as just, you know, removing any doubt and, you know, there's no worry that way.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Now, well, question answered. I probably won't take the time to sanitize or sterilize that. But, it seems to make awful lot of sense what you've talked about so far up to this point. It sounds like as long as you're cleaning and then you keep your thing soaked in whatever product it is for the amount of time it is at the
you
right concentration.
You want your thing wet.
You want your thing wet. You know, you clean it first. Mm-hmm. Then you take your thing and you put it in the sterilizer,
you wet it,
sanitizer, right?
Keep it wet.
And drip dry. Apparently I can drip dry, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I want to get the color out of it, I just use isopropyl alcohol.
Right.
What? Shoot.
That's all set.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, how about the chat room? How's that looking this evening?
A few questions from them. One good question is about how water chemistry affects sanitizing products. So something we need to pay attention to.
Water chemistry. That's actually a very intelligent question. Hard water will affect certain sanitizers. Real water that, or really hard water that you can practically walk on. Charlie used to always call it JC water. I don't recommend using it at all in brewing or cleaning, because it's going to react with the cleaners and sanitizers, and you need proper chelation. Items such as star sand, the phosphoric acid will chelate various metals, and so it should be okay, but heavy metals and water will react with all chemistry in sanitizers. So I'd stay away from it. And you've got water that's that hard, go to the store and buy DI water or good water.
John, I got a question on that recommendation. When you talk about hard water and you talk about the heavy metals, I mean, I would think since these are, you know, acidic solutions, both the iodophore and the star sand, that the carbonate or bicarbonate, the alkalinity of the water would be the detriment to the system as opposed to the cation content.
Well, the question is, what you're getting into is pH, and if it has so much alkalinity that the phosphoric acid in the star sand, for example, can't drop the pH, no. You don't have water that hard. What it is, though, is in star sand you have an anionic detergent. That anionic detergent is going to react with the metals.
With the calcium
and going to come
water.
Out
okay.
of solution.
Okay. So, okay, that's a good clarification then. So it is water hardness that will affect star sand.
Not alkalinity.
And not the alkalinity. The phosphoric in the solution is enough to overcome the alkalinity of the water.
Correct.
Which would, okay. That's
now, good that is a very good point, that the alkalinity will have pH drifts. And we've said that all of these sanitizers have an ideal pH. Mm-hmm. And so if your alkalinity rate, or if the alkalinity is so high, you may not get as long of a good viable solution. It may drift over a period of time because of that alkalinity.
Yeah. My water in Los Angeles is, you know, moderate alkalinity. It's got, you know, 70 ppm of calcium. But I know I can't mix up a star sand solution with that water without it turning cloudy. So I always use DI water from the grocery store.
How long does it take before it turns cloudy? Is it instant or is it a day or two?
No, a couple minutes.
Okay.
So I don't know whether it's a combination of alkalinity and the ion and the cation content or what. Yeah. I know it's just if I mix it with distilled right off the bat and I don't have to worry about it.
There you go. It's an inconvenience, but having to use it, but at the same time, you know.
Yeah,
it's
surety.
Good.
Yeah.
How clean is your brew house, Jamil? I mean, you're the tuned in Kasi winning fool over here. You obviously, you know, like the model, what we're doing maybe after people have been successful. Is your garage really clean? Is your kegerator clean? I mean, what are you keeping clean?
Anything that has to do with fermentation has to be clean.
Okay.
So, you know, anything cold side has to be absolutely spotless and thoroughly sanitized. And if there's any doubt, throw it away, get another one.
Right.
And so that's the important part. And the environment needs to be generally clean.
Okay.
Where you're working.
Do you have a counterflow chiller?
No, got rid of it. I switched to this whole whirlpool chiller idea, which is an immersion chiller with recirculating with a whirlpool, and that's again because I did not want to deal with cleaning the inside of a counterflow chiller. It just worries me too much.
Excellent.
How do you clean the inside of your circulation, your pump that you use to recirculate?
The pump head comes off.
Okay. So then you could sanitize.
Yeah. And generally, you know, you run some PBW through there, some warm PBW, and, you know, you take it apart every few times and you don't see anything in it. And then it gets sanitized just by, you know, you're pumping boiling liquid through it. So
now for most of us, we'll brew beer and a few months later it'll be gone. But for someone like Jamil, I mean, he has it for a beer 6-7 years old the other day I was looking at. I mean, to be able to do that, you got to pay attention to sanitation. You not only have to be clean, but your sanitation has to be perfect, period. Mm-hmm. So obviously you're doing something right there, I would imagine. Right. You know, just everything that if it's fermentation, anything the beer's going to touch, you keep that obviously incredibly clean.
Right, right.
Good to know.
A couple more questions from the chat for you, John. Someone asked, what's the difference between an acid cleaner and a sanitizer? And they were using SantaClean, for example. He says, you know, could something like that be used for both a sanitizer and a cleaner? What's the difference there?
SantaClean, cleaner sanitizer, SantaClean is my low-foaming version of Star Sand. It is not EPA registered, so I can't by law call it a sanitizer.
Okay.
Did I dance around that one fast enough to say that it's the low foaming version of star sand?
Well, so is that to say you can't answer the question? If I say to you, you know, is it going to sanitize something, you know, irregardless of what the EPA says, can you answer that question?
So what I can say is, in my opinion, Santa Clean sanitizes just as well as Star San, regardless of what the EPA registration may say. I am free to say what my opinion is on it. Okay. I'm sure John can't comment.
I will not stop you on that.
As far as cleaning, it is not a cleaner. It is a for my uses, I use it as a sanitizer, not as a cleaner, because I don't think it would be as effective as at cleaning.
Okay.
As far as cleaning goes, it depends on what you're cleaning. It's, you know, I mean, even Star San can be used as an acid cleaner. Cleaner meaning removing dirt. It will remove inorganic material, okay? But when you're talking about beer, you're talking about organic soil. Organic soil, you need an alkali. You need something like PBW. So the proper step would be using PBW first, and then following it with a final step such as Santa Clean or Star San.
Okay. Okay, great. Another question about one of your other products called Starzine.
Oh, okay.
Someone wanted to know what's the kill time for Starzine, and if it's okay to use that in a spray bottle like we use Star San.
Well, first of all, if any homebrewers got Starzine, I'd be amazed.
Well, I think we do have pro brewers at least in two.
You'd be surprised.
And I do think this comes from one of our homebrewers who has moved up to a pro brewery. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, number one, if people complain about the price of Star San, they definitely are going to complain about the price of Starzine.
Okay.
Starzine is stabilized chlorine dioxide. Okay, and that one is very tricky because you have to activate it. You have to lower the pH, the optimum pH, into the range, and there's different ways of doing it. But again, it's like that sodium hypochlorite when I was talking about the bleach, when you have to acidify it and you have the risk of releasing chlorine gas. Starzine's the same thing. When you acidify it with citric acid or phosphoric acid, if you go too far, you run the risk of releasing chlorine gas. The reason why people use it, it actually kills using oxygen. Okay, it's the chlorine is a bound molecule, and it kills using the oxygen, which is phenomenal. Doesn't impart the flavors that bleach would from the chlorine. Contact time on that one again is 2 to 5 minutes, depending upon the concentration. That one I recommend 80 parts per million. Do not go higher than 200. Depending upon the organism you want. Most gram negatives, gram positives, you kill between 40 and 60. I know you can get some kills low as 20. But in the homebrew environment, you might as well run it as high as 120 or 150. The breweries that are using it, they use it at the average brewery that uses it runs it at about 80 parts per million, and they're CIPing it for 5 to 10 minutes just to do that, and then once a month, once a quarter, they run it as high as 150 to 200 parts per million.
So it sounds like you wouldn't recommend using it in a spray bottle like we would Star San.
Does it work? Yes, it would work just fine in a spray bottle application.
Okay.
To get to that concentration, it's a real pain in the butt.
Okay. Fair.
So, no, I don't recommend any home brewer to ever use Starzine. Number one, you have to acidify it, and I don't like home brewers doing that. And number two, the amount, if you think, most guys that make up, say, Starzine and put it in a spray bottle, it's 1 ounce and 5 gallons of water. They either make up a gallon of solution and then pour it off into spray bottles, or they figured out that their spray bottle's a quart, and it's like less than a mil or 1 mil, and they figured out exactly how to do that. Starzine, to get into 80 parts per million, it's like a drop.
Okay.
And so trying to get into this concentration and measure it properly at that small is ridiculous.
Okay. And that's it from the listeners today.
All right. I think that's a good show. I think what we learned on this, what you want to make sure you're doing is keeping it wet, right?
Yep,
so you need to, first off, make sure everything's clean, and reference our earlier show on cleaning. Mm-hmm. Once everything is spotlessly clean, then you're going to want to mix up your sanitizer of choice to the appropriate concentration. Make sure it has the appropriate pH.
Don't have to worry about agitation, no?
Agitation, You don't have to really worry about that. You want to apply it, keep it wet. For me, that means filling up the vessels, you know, completely submerging things. For others, you know, spray bottle works well, right? You need
and
to keep
when you're
it,
assembling your stuff, make sure you assemble the parts wet, too. If you're going to put things
point.
Together, make sure that they're sanitized and they're still wet when you put them together, or you maybe put hoses and stuff together under the solution.
That's what I do. I do in a bucket, and I'll assemble everything under in the solution.
But don't feel inadequate if you've only got 30 seconds of contact time.
Right.
Because that's okay, too.
Right. Well, Jamil, 30 seconds does pretty well. 3 minutes, you pretty much everything's dead when it comes to star sand. Iota 4 is going to be maybe 5 minutes or so.
If Jason Petros' girlfriend drank out of a glass that was cleaned in star sand, and he drank out of it, would he still get her cold sore, or would it be okay?
I disagree with the premise of the question. JP would never have a girlfriend.
Oh,
yes.
Right. X'd out from that. Sorry. Yeah. Hypothetical girlfriend.
Sorry, JP.
And what else? After you've thoroughly sanitized and given it appropriate contact time, keeping everything wet, then you don't need to necessarily rinse, having used the appropriate concentration, and you can drip dry on these things. That's fine, but not necessarily necessary. No rinse, again, proper concentration, unless you're doing something like bleach or, you know, then you definitely want to rinse, and then you're pretty much throwing the whole thing out the window anyways, because most water and the tap that you're pulling it from and all that, it's got bacteria all over it. So best to stick to something like Star Sand Iota 4. If you're using heat, your contact time is actually longer, and there is some danger there. You can do that, but on the other hand, it's quite appropriate for things where it's very difficult to get liquids into those real fine pores and ensure that you're getting appropriate contact, appropriate cleaning. So something like that, like a sintered stone, you might want to boil or put in an autoclave or a pressure cooker. Did I cover everything, guys?
It sounds like it to me.
Perfect.
Yeah.
John? Okay. Great. I think that was a good quality show, and I think we have another show coming up in 2 weeks from this. If you're listening to this one, it's going to be on
Hot Side
Aeration. We got Charlie Bamforth on that, and it's going to be a great episode. So thank you, John, for joining us on this. We hope that we'll see you at the Homebrew Conference in June, right?
I will be there.
Excellent. Thank you again.
Yeah, thanks a lot,
pleasure.
John. Good talking to you.
So I think that was another fine show here.
Yeah, I feel good about that one.
Yeah. Another one in the can.
Fights
the
of dust.
Yeah, all right. So, like I said, we're going to be back. If you're listening to this on the podcast, we're going to be back in 2 weeks with another one on Hot Side Aeration. That's going to be another excellent show. I think we're really hitting our stride now. If you get a chance, go by the Brew Network store. Take a look. There's going to be hoodies in there. And if you're listening to the podcast, God knows what's going to be there at the time. We're coming out with new Brew Strong shirts, so they should be there, or they could be totally sold out by the time you hear this. So, hard to say. If you get a chance, you want to listen live, because that's when you find out all the good information. If you're listening live in about a week, you should see Brew Strong shirts there. Snap one up. They're going to go quick. You can get Brewing Classic Styles, both signed by Palmer and Zanishek.
Yep. Check those out.
Yeah. Hoodies, all sorts of goodies. And if you get a chance, maybe sign up for BYO or American Homebrewers Association membership. All those things lend themselves to keeping the Brewing Network going, as well as keeping you filled with great brewing knowledge.
Donate if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyways, we appreciate you listening, and we hope you will be brewing strong.
Yep, keep it strong.